Lord God, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, that we may hear and receive your word. Amen. My mother would say there are two things you should never talk about at a party: politics and religion. Because no matter your position or view, it would surely tick someone off. It's no longer just two forbidden topics that can turn people into the Hatfields and McCoys. It could be anything. The rule of law, flying a flag, the historic significance of a statue, or even if you should baptize a child or how you should raise that child. Any topic or comment can cause people to unfriend each other, even though they've been friends for years. In the big scheme of things, these differences of opinions are tiny. Let me give you an example. Last Christmas, I attended a family party where several of my cousins and their friends, who are Italian grandmothers from New York, were sitting around, and they were all going on about how their children were not having their grandchildren baptized and letting them decide what they wanted to be when they grew up. One of these grandmothers said, "God forbid something happens to this child, the child will go to hell." And in unison, all six of them made the sign of the cross. And in unison, all of them said, "Oh, Madonna Mia, God forbid." Well, I was quietly sitting on the sidelines, minding my own business, eating a cannoli, not getting involved in the conversation at all. And my sister Judy, blurts out, "Let's ask the deacon what he thinks." Yeah. Well, that's when all hell broke loose. I told them that God would love their beautiful grandkids unconditionally and grant them entrance into heaven if something terrible would happen, regardless if they were baptized or not. I told them that it was only my opinion, and that I wasn't an expert on Roman Catholic canon law. However, it was my opinion that it was the parents' decisions on whether to baptize their child. It was more important how they raised the child to love their neighbor, to be a good person, to know that they were loved. I also knew most likely that these grandmothers hadn't been in church for years, but it was their opinion that drove them to want to hang me, and not the facts. These differences of opinion can almost cause people of all religions and faiths to blows. But these are opinions, not essential priorities. How someone voted, their beliefs on global warming, whatever the thing may be, is not a litmus test for your entrance into heaven. We do not know what is in someone else's heart. God judges, we don't. Our church, our community, our nation must stop fixating on non-essential things in life. We lose focus of the big picture, the commandment of loving your neighbor, the commandment of feeding the hungry, visiting the sick and the imprisoned. We focus on our differences of opinion and completely trivialize the major issues such as violence, hunger, homelessness, a poor education system, hatred. If we do that, we are being judgmental. Remember the axiom: be slow to judge others and quick to judge yourself. If you need a little bit of a litmus test, Reverend Hillary gave us one about a year ago, and I'm going to paraphrase here. If the act or decision shows love and concern for your neighbors, then that act or opinion is good. You can substitute law, policy, whatever. But if it doesn't, then it's not good. But I would also say that this test should apply to yourself and not be used as a judgment tool for someone else. We are a lot alike the people of Rome that Paul was writing to in his letter. We are sometimes quick to find fault in each other, to point out our differences, to blame others because, well, we're perfect. Paul's letter is not about dietary differences or practices in the early church. He is talking about the cultural differences between and opinions between the Gentiles and the Jews of Rome. One is saying that they're better than the other because they eat meat or don't. But what they're really trying to say is, I'm better than that guy. And Paul's trying to put a stop to that. Undoubtedly, Paul is telling them to stop judging other believers. He says, now, accept the one who is weak in faith. Paul's Greek word for faith, I'm going to butcher this, proslambano, it means to extend welcome, to receive into your home or into your circle of acquaintances. We are not to judge, we are to welcome and accept. We need to always remember that the Lord can take care of changing the minds of people when they need to be changed. Just as we know, He can change ours. Just ask yourself, have your opinions changed over the years? Paul is saying that two believers can follow different practices and have different beliefs and still be right with God. God will decide what is right, not you, and certainly not I. It is okay for people to disagree. You don't have to be wrong so that I can be right. So maybe the basis of our judgmental life that we lead is not the differences of opinions or doctrine, but our pride and the possibility that we might just be wrong. Let me give you an example. My friend David will tell you that he is a proud redneck and a southern gentleman. He is a big Verina farm boy who wears a Confederate States of America belt buckle proudly. If I were a betting man, I would say that David would not want the Confederate statues on Monument Avenue removed. I would also bet that people who did not know him would be judgmental and assume him a racist. But God knows what is in his heart and what his opinions are. But unless you accepted him and welcomed him and got to know him, you'd have no idea of who and what he is. David is a good man that has spent most of his life risking his life to serve people, to provide EMS care for all of the people of Henrico County, irregardless of race, gender, or nationality. People might focus on the trivial fact that he's wearing a Confederate States of America belt buckle and overlook the big picture of who he is. I think that's what Paul is saying to us. Welcome those people who have different beliefs to you. Get to know them. It's for God to judge. Our job is to accept them. In Matthew, we hear about a living in community and how we are to handle being wronged by someone. Peter asked Jesus, "How often do I forgive someone? Seven times?" I think Peter's always been a wise guy, so he figures seven is a safe number. But Jesus responds with an astonishing number of 77 times. It's ridiculous, 77 times? But that's what is expected. A debt so large, okay? We hear later on about the servant who was unforgiving. He's called before the king and is told to make repayment for his debt. A debt so large that some commentators have estimated the amount due to the king was just about the amount of money that David had set aside to build the temple. There's no way that a servant in his lifetime or 100 lifetimes could ever repay that debt to that king. He begs the king for mercy because he's screwed up big. And then his debt is forgiven. A clean slate. The servant goes on about his business after begging for forgiveness, and he comes across another servant who owes him just a few pennies. He asks for forgiveness, but it's not granted. Throws the man into jail. Ultimately, the king finds out about this unforgiving servant and takes him back, takes back the forgiveness and the grace that he gave him, and throws him into jail. The metaphors are clear. You and I have a debt, sin, so great that we could never, ever hope to repay that. And yet, when we beg for forgiveness, whenever we beg for forgiveness, God forgives us all. She wipes out our debts and gives us a clean balance sheet anytime we ask for it. Yet we risk our forgiveness and our salvation by holding on to those petty, inconsequential wrongs that we have been afflicted with by others and not granting them forgiveness. Naturally, we may find it very hard to forgive, but we must if we hope to someday receive the forgiveness for our own debt. So the lesson for today is about forgiveness and not sweating the little things. The little differences of opinion are for God to figure out and not for you to judge and not for me to judge. Our job is to accept, welcome, and forgive. Judgment and forgiveness is for God to do. I don't presume to do God's work. And all I can do is ask for forgiveness and grant it to anyone who asks it for me. Amen.